Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Beautiful and baffling. That's football for you. Spain will play Italy in the semis. Decent matchup, but who is next? Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Saturday, the 3rd of July. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Belgium, Italy. Best 45 minutes of the tournament, hands down. Knocked old Magic Monday off its perch.
Hands up, more like.
I think so, yeah.
Hands up.
Hands up. It was like they were kind of, they trying to rob me of my emotions at gunpoint. And I was like, hands up.
That's not how emotions work.
You've taken my heart.
When you feel them, they're not taken from you.
No, they're like
they're more intensely in you.
Shot through the heart and you're too late. You give love a
bad name.
Yeah. That's where I'm going for that one.
Oh, have you got them back again?
I've got them back again. I'm ready for the England match.
Good. So did you hunt them? You hunted down the emotion thieves.
They did, yeah.
Got them back.
Yeah.
Some vigilante justice.
Would you say that
Liam Neeson in Taken?
Would you say that Italy or Belgium are the more thieving of the emotions?
I think Belgium, because they're clearly at a little bit of a turning point, a crossroads, if you will. Great Bon Jovi album, where they're it could go one way, could go the other. So yeah, I think Belgium have got my heart. And they're slowly posting bits of it back to me. With a ransom note. Proof of life.
Little chunks. Yeah.
Little chunks of my
little
heart.
Snipped up
little
chunks.
Chopped up heart. This is not how I was expecting to start this
It's
show,
awful.
But,
it's yeah. awful.
Awful.
Awful posted by a Belgian.
Emotion awful.
It's emotion awful.
They're mainly more about like, what was that thing Vish posted? Chips.
Fries,
is greater
fries and mayo are the things in Belgium, aren't they?
I actually agree with that.
Although it turns out, pizza 2, fries 1.
Yeah, yes.
True.
That whole game felt like highlights, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like it was just
except
just
the end.
Relentless. I enjoyed that. I mean, you hate it when teams do it to you, but it's
I'm
funny.
Scared.
When you see
I'd
it
like to think
so
that
well.
Team are so well drilled that they could do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, that's
like,
wonderful.
I mean, we've not really seen it from
no.
them. And I don't think it was even necessary. But do you remember from the Colombia game when a team are doing that to you?
Yeah.
It feels like an affront to your sovereignty. Like just everything. It just feels so wrong.
Certainly yeah. your dignity and your yeah. sense of like, you know, fairness. But anyway, we shouldn't start with that. We should start with the amazingness of the game to start with. So all three goals in the first half. Oh my God, I mean, the first goal was amazing. Unbelievable invention from Nicola Barella for that first one.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Immobile.
Do we have any word on Immobile? Has he recovered?
Yeah, he seems
he's
quite
walking
well,
around.
Actually.
Yeah, he seems all right, yeah.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he'll hopefully be fine. The second one then. So the first one, I thought, that's a goal for a game. Like, that's brilliant. And then Lorenzo Insigne with absolute techers,
yeah.
curl, pluck, Beautiful. All of the above, gorgeous. And then the penalty Romelu Lukaku took.
Nice. A lot of people thinking it's a soft penalty. Where do you guys stand on that?
I'm fine with it.
I was fine with it. Out of all of the weird penalty decisions we've had, yeah, he was going at pace, and God, that player can go at pace, and he just got knocked off his feet, off his tootsies. So yeah,
he pushed him, that's a foul, right?
Yeah, it's incredible to me that that's what it took for Belgium to break through with all that attacking talent they got. It was a penalty they have. It was a penalty that got them through that Italian defence, and that is scary if you're Spanish. I would say,
yeah.
Well, scary if you've got aspirations to make it to the final, like England have.
I don't know, though, because if you think in the second half, Romelu Lukaku, I don't know what you think about the kind of game he had, but those two, he had two big misses, didn't he? The header where he sort of glanced it, but just into the stands. And then the one where he couldn't sort of find it. I mean, that was partly the defending, wasn't it? But he just couldn't.
The block on the line, he was just, after that it kind of killed him a little bit.
He couldn't find it.
He was just landing in a heap. I couldn't figure out where his legs were, his arms. So he was just like...
Yeah.
You know, when they have those big garage men outside the garage that flail around, the inflatable men, he's just sort of like... into himself, like Beetlejuice.
There's also an argument that just because of certain kind of national character traits that places have, when they're on the up in a game, that many Italian men at once is probably quite intense. Do you know what I mean? The way that Donnarumma kissed Spinazzola after he made that charge. And they're all just like, yes! Yeah! It's like, it's so intense. I can't get that emotional.
No.
It's just like, as an Englishman, it's beyond me to get even near that. And there are 11 of them, like, turned up to about 15. And you're like, oh, God, this is so intense. How are we going to score? I can't even concentrate.
Me and you, we'll go down Bar Italia in Soho and we'll drink espressos at the bar. Lovely. Home of television. Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, and after about 16 pints, you'll decide that you'll say that you really like each other.
Yeah, never handshake and go home.
I've liked working with you for all these years, Pete. And I'm glad we finally found a chance to say it. Yeah, it was intense. I don't think it was just the emotion. It was also just the backwards and forwards nature of the game. And it was so exciting. I just loved it. And I think that was my... took some pauses on the old internet for this, but I think that was my frustration with the last, whatever it was, 15 minutes where the Italian team were just dropping like flies at it. And I get it. It's the sort of more prolonged version of taking it into the corner.
Yeah.
You fall over and are very hurt every time anything happens. But
if you're not on a yellow, do it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You're not on a yellow.
It's just
that
I wanted to see extra time. I felt like Belgium were pushing. They'd missed those two chances. They were a bit, Lukaku was a bit inflatable garage man for a while. But you felt like there was something brewing.
I don't know. I think it is disrespectful to your opponent, isn't it? To effectively not allow them to play.
Is it? Or is it,
Well, I think so. I mean, various cultures view this differently, but I think the idea of basically, wasting time like that is making sure that some of the game isn't the game. Do you know what I mean?
Get down off that horse. Get down off that horse.
I would love to see England do it. I'd love to see us learn how to do that, by the way.
Tie him up outside rather than bringing him into the studio.
Our best footballer does that all of the time. He spends most of the time on his arse. It's good.
I'm not saying that, it's just Italy that do that.
No,
I just think the concept of it
indeed
is frustrating.
But is it not up to the referee to...
Exactly, officiate.
To manage that.
Yeah, and it's all part of the game. And I did think by the end of the match, I think Belgium didn't run out of ideas, but I think they felt the pressure of the end of this golden generation. They've had like 10 years of incredibly impressive footballers, incredibly impressive footballing talent. And, now you've got defenders who play in the J-League. They're all kind of seeing out their careers. And you just sort of think if they had a slightly more creative or less kind of a defensive manager, they may have got through this tie possibly. But I don't think he'll be in charge this time. This time next year or when the World Cup comes around.
It's funny with this talk about the sort of the end of the golden generation. Any country that has a generation tarred with that golden brush tends to not live up to it.
There's always life after it. What we've got now.
Exactly. It tends to be you shouldn't bestow that title on the team until after a period, really. But that's not how it works, is it? But I mean, the World Cup starts next November. Mm. A lot of those players will still be there. Obviously, the age profile of the defenders is a problem. But, they'll they're going to be contenders next time.
I think the thing about Belgium, though, is that it's unlike, you know, their population is about 11 million.
Yeah.
Whereas England, that's like five times smaller than England, for example. So it just seems more amazing that they have such an extraordinary concentration of players. Mm. And someone like Kevin De Bruyne is a once in a generation talent. Yeah. You could make the same argument for Romelu Lukaku and various other of them, Alderweireld even to some extent. So yeah,
but, you know, we've been saying that since Vincent Kompany, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, good point.
I think they've got better at maximising the players they have when they come through at a young age. So you know.
Yeah.
Like, look at Youri Tielemans coming through and Jeremy Doku as well. Like, you know,
Jeremy Doku,
4 years ago, obviously no one was talking about those guys and here they are. So it's not like it's not like they're suddenly just going to dry up and go back to the bad old days, I would think.
Jeremy Doku is, I think, for some reason, Leicester City have adopted, the Leicester City fans have adopted him as like the player who's going to be coming into Leicester City,
really?
Even
right.
though there's been no actual talk about it. But I just sort of think he's exactly the sort of player to move to the Premier League, be incredibly committed but unbelievably frustrating. I just can just see his end product being absolutely nothing. Just got to get him out of this club, he's rubbish.
It seems to be is this
that's
just
your
I've been burned by the Ben Arfa
every month.
Yeah,
exactly.
Been burned by the Ben Arfa, mate.
Yeah, well, I thought he was incredible on the night.
He was
I just
wonderful.
Really loved watching him, his turn of pace, the way he managed to draw it's people
not
to
even
him
turn.
Away
he's just 99% all the time. He's just pissed. He doesn't turn it down. 19, he's 11 all the time.
19 years old. Yeah. Plays for Ren. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be getting a big-ish move.
Yeah.
Big-ish.
Or maybe
really
not.
I just undermined myself there. A big-ish. Probably a normalish sized move maybe to Newcastle now. That would be such a coup. The other person probably to mention is Leonardo Spinazzola, who has torn his bloody Achilles.
Mm. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, you could see on his face as well, like even as he was making the signal to come off, he's like, he knows his tournament's over, in tears on the pitch. I think it actually looked a little bit crazy how quickly he was running for that ball. And I think he was just so amped up, so pumped up by, you know, by the tournament he's been having and by the, maybe even the praise he's been getting, you know, for like, for just bombing down the wing in the way that he has. And I was, even as he was running, I was like, oh, wow, that's fast. That seems too fast.
But the sad thing is that is supposed to be something that he'd got more of a grip on. Apparently that is characteristic of his play. And he, if a move from Roma to Inter fell through fairly recently, and the reason that Juventus sold him to Roma in the first place, it's because he kept getting injured.
Right.
So it's basically, this is a function of... He has been talking, I think, before the tournament or during the tournament about how he'd been like trying to train better and trying to, you know, manage his body better.
Yeah.
So it's
That's
even
so
more
upsetting.
Crushing to see him do that, especially as he's, one... Did you just say, or am I saying, one of the players of the tournament?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Thought. And that left-back position for Italy as well, sort of iconic.
He did everything he could. He blocked on the line from Lukaku. He could not have delivered more for that Italy team.
Also, way Mancini has a squad set up, Emerson Palmieri will come in, and obviously he's not, you know, he's a different player, but he will probably fit in and play exactly the same role because they all know their jobs really, really well and the squad is geared to playing in a certain way, whoever the personnel is. So I think obviously it's a miss, but it's one that they will be prepared for. But yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because now that, you know, he's playing under Jose Mourinho now, so we will not be seeing him bomb on like that anymore.
The future's bright.
That'll be the last time he gets into the opposition's for half.
His next injury will be his wings being clipped.
They loved it though. They gave him quite the hero's welcome, Pete. I'm sure you enjoyed seeing that. Apparently De Bruyne played with torn ankle ligaments last night.
Ew.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, it's superhuman.
How torn are we talking?
Yeah.
Is it like an insurance write-off for like?
Are you really trying to go at De Bruyne for not being torn in half?
No, I'm just saying. Like, I presume it wasn't a huge separation. There'll be a partial separation, presumably. It's not ideal. Yeah, it's not ideal. Let us know, Kevin. I want pictures. I want X-rays.
You hope to be in the kind of prime physical condition, don't you, to perform in a Euros quarterfinal? I feel as though he did well, with or without torn ankle ligaments. Jesus.
Can't imagine his club team manager finding that a problem at a situation.
No, I imagine he'll be very understanding be about fine, how he pushed on and played through the whole of the game.
He'll be in summer hibernation at this point anyway when he pep. There is simply no way a man that intense can be awake for a whole year properly. He'll be in some pod somewhere recharging. It'll be fine.
Surely. What? And then you think he'll just wake up and watch the whole tournament through? Like non-stop over the course of 48
probably.
Hours or something.
Like Johnny Five short circuit just whizzes through it really quickly. He's watched the whole thing.
No, he'll be in a big recharging egg.
Mm.
his big bald fraud egg.
I think that's quite beautiful, actually. Let's look ahead as well. Let's look ahead. So now, of course, Italy going to the semi-finals. Italy going to the final, yeah. I really felt, I don't know about you guys, but after they won the Austria game, I just felt as though these guys are going to win the tournament. It was something about, after, of course, they won the group and didn't concede and were incredible, but you can hardly tell anything from that. The way that they came back from a bit of jeopardy and managed to go on and win the Austria
game. I think actually looking at the games from last night, the eventual winners are still in the competition somewhere.
Thanks, Jim.
You're a knob. But I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
I genuinely think Spain are going to win it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You've been banging this drum, haven't you?
Is this just you being contrary? Or
no, it's just a very different kind of Spain team, and they are stinking up the tournament in many different factors and ways, and I think they will sort of like brute force their way to the final and just flob their way over the finishing line. Yeah.
So I worry for them because if Belgium couldn't get past the Italian defence with all the attacking talent they've got. Like, what hope are the maudlin goths that Spain have got up front?
Well, penalties, now they've really nailed
well,
the
maybe
ability
that's
to
it,
take
yeah.
penalties.
They can take penalties unless it's in a match, clearly, in which case they really struggle. And even then,
really
it wasn't great
penalties.
In the shootout, was
I'm
it?
I'm joking. I thought it was the worst penalty shootout I've seen in years.
The thing with Italy is that, like, from minute 0 to minute 75, they play at this really, really intense pace, and then obviously they start shithousing after that. But they do fly out of the blocks. Mm. They play with such energy straight away, and Spain do look like they have brittle confidence. I feel like if Italy score early, Spain could collapse here and shit the bed. That's how I envision it going, but obviously
5-0
I'm not a sort of oracle.
Or something. Is that what you mean?
I think it could be, maybe not 5-0, but you could see a situation where Spain lose their grip on the game and are never in it.
Yeah. And then Italy can just rest up for the final.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, look, let's come on and talk about Spain in the second half. But basically, all the talk of shithousing aside, I guess what we've learned is that you need to beat Italy in the first 70 minutes.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Congratulations to Italy. We'll see you... Well, certainly in the semis. Anyway, let's go to a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
It's so mean. He did us a little favour.
Oh, come on. Yesterday he said spinning Zola.
Well, it happens to us all. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Pete and Jim with you. And we're going to get a few of your emails now.
Oof. Press the button. I'm trying to tickle your ivories.
Football Ramble.
It's a pretty good place to start.
Football Ramble.
Well, it just sounds a bit gimmicky.
But I think it's exciting round.
Football Ramble.
Phil Neville confused testicles with balls.
Very rarely does it all go completely silent because no one knows what to say.
Where does this rank? Is it above or below punching the punching of the horse?
They thought to themselves, Paul.
Well, yeah. Old Fizzer knows his youngins.
Personally, I think it's a bit of a silly one.
You got email.
Well done.
Football Ramble.
The home of Willy Waver.
You got email.
Tune in this time next week to hear it again.
Don't play again.
Mark Pugach literally does shows for the Football Ramble and could not deliver the word the Football Ramble with more derision, in my opinion. The Football Ramble?
It's quite disconcerting when Marcus turns up in your ear when you press that.
Yeah.
Here he is.
The ghost of host pasts. Pasta. Italian.
It's like when he turned up the other day when we were doing the game. That was very intimidating.
Okay.
I know. Well, it seemed to spur you to greater height.
I got an email from Sarah Finnegan. She grew whiskers on her chin again. She didn't. All this chat about mistaken identities got me thinking about my own mistake. My dad always told us stories about the great Mexican footballer of the ages, Nobby Stiles. He even did a great Mexican accent, which is more troublesome now than when I was a small child, Sarah. That's brilliant. At school, with all the talk of football, I thought I'd show my international knowledge and brought up the great Stiles himself, to which my friends rolled around laughing until they could explain that good old Nobby was England through and through. I went straight home and accused my dad of treachery. He just rolled around the floor laughing as he couldn't believe the joke had gone on for so long, literally about 10 years. Daddy Finnegan.
That is a direct
naughty
hit, isn't
that
it?
Is,
dad joke wise, that is
like SpaceX nailing the landing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Battleship.
Beautiful.
We admire your work.
Yeah. Cracking stuff, Brilliant Daddy Finnegan. Thank you, Sarah.
Geordie Hoken has been in touch. He's from Belgium, and as will become clear in this email. Tonight's loss hurts. It hurts not because we didn't deserve to lose, not because we weren't outsmarted, not even because the Italians were masters at time-wasting in the end. It hurts because it's the realisation we will never win a tournament. This generation has beaten every major country in the world and has been number one in the world in the ranking, but we've never and will never beat countries in the right order for us to win a tournament. You're all English and England will always have a team competing in the tournament with the best there are. We'll come back to that later. Even when you have a generation which isn't as good as the previous one, you'll still probably even survive the group stages.
Thanks,
growing up, I was happy when Belgium was qualified for a tournament. The last 7 years have been amazing for us, and this generation is by a land mile the best generation we've ever had and maybe ever will have. I have loved the absolute majority of it when they were playing, with the exception of Wales 2016 and France 2018. I love my country. I love these players. What joy they have given us, even if it wasn't a title. Now, we've sort of touched on a lot of this stuff already, but Geordie, it will get better, won't it? This is always how it feels when your team go out of a tournament. And as we've said before, I think Belgium, the way Belgium bring players through and the way they develop when they're very young is actually pretty special, and I think it puts them it makes them punch above their weight in a way that means there should always be hope for the future, especially at the moment as well, because you know a lot of these players, they're still going to be around for a little while yet at least. And also, England don't always qualify for tournaments.
Yeah,
didn't qualify
really
in 94, didn't qualify in 2008, didn't get out of the group stages in 2014. You know, even a nation with a much bigger population and a very strong domestic league, we still struggle in this situation. So, you know, it's all right. It's all, you get yourself up for it again. And you convince yourself that Belgium are going to win it. I always say it, and I've allowed England to do it to me this time. I just want them to convince me that they've got a shot at winning it. And then I'll be crushed like you are. But it's you'll get back up for it and you'll love it.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Thanks for sharing your moment of despair with us, Geordie. I hope Jim's words of support and wisdom helped.
I mean, he'll hear mine sooner or later, won't he? So we'll have a little swap.
No, because why, Jim? Because England are going to win the Euros.
You've been banging this drum for a long time, actually, Kate.
And I bang it.
You're probably right.
Aren't England
you? You're probably right. Yeah.
I wouldn't do the drum.
You wouldn't do the drum.
You'd be like the cor anglais or something,
flugel.
Wouldn't you?
The euphonium. I said to you before, he's the guy. I back the euphoniumist.
Euphonium.
Euphonium.
Euphoniumista.
Yeah, not the drum.
Just say tuba. It's just big.
It's a
tuba,
little. No, it's a little tuba.
Right.
Yeah, it's baby tuba.
Keytar. Get them a keytar.
Send Lovely. Your emails in show@footballramble.com. Also tweet us at Football Ramble. Yes, so we've talked about Spain, who are going to apparently win the Euros when England don't. 1-1, it was the final score against Switzerland. Oh my God. And then the worst penalty shootout you've ever seen.
I'm really nervous about you saying that.
Thus far.
3-1. They won, Spain, because you thought by the time, so they obviously had a red card, Switzerland, they were down to 10 men. Mm. You thought, and they had that own goal as well from Zakaria after about, before 10 minutes had been played, but you thought if they could just get to the end of extra time,
yeah,
they'll win this penalty shooter. Yeah. And then bloody Busquets missed the first one. You were like, it's happening.
It always seems to flip on its head in a penalty shootout though, doesn't it? The team that misses first so often, in my head at least, seem to go on to win it. And it's so gutting for Switzerland, because when part of your story of going further than you've gone in a long time is through a penalty shootout,
yes,
to then go out on a penalty shootout tarnishes that first achievement as well. So you can't, I think they're going to struggle to separate those memories. It will be the memories of the two shootouts that define it. And it's such a shame, because Sommer had such a good game. He looked just unbeatable at times after they'd scored.
Did you see what Luis Enrique said? He said that was the most tranquil penalty shootout I've ever been through, because we'd done all our homework, all our practice, and there was nothing left for the staff and me to do. Luis.
That is confident.
It is.
I like
He's
it.
He's a very
Did you
confident
see how many
man,
they... Oh, God. Yeah.
It wasn't a good shootout, was it?
No.
And to see sort of like Switzerland go through that shootout where they looked confident and they didn't second guess themselves. This time round, it was like, oh, shall I hit it there? Oh, I buffed it up again. Oh, dear. It was the completely different beast this time round.
Yeah, the first miss was a beautiful share, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For Switzerland.
Yeah. They were poor penalties from Switzerland as well. Mm. It was surprising. Mate, perhaps they got a bit complacent, thinking like, we've won a penalty shootout now, therefore we are good at penalties. Yeah, they probably also that.
They looked
got a lot of minutes in those legs.
Yeah, just like, let me lie down. I'll just... Yeah, but yeah, maybe there's something in that about Switzerland. It was gutting. I know that Pete, you're backing Spain to the death here.
I am,
but
to both of our deaths, the heat death of the universe. I'll be backing them. But yeah, it was frequently poor. And what was that stat where Spain have
235
more attacks than England this tournament? Now I don't know what.
So it's just not 23.5.
Is it just moving the
2.35?
Yeah, moving the ball forward. How does an attack actually?
Yeah, obviously that's not shot. That would be nuts.
No,
but yeah, I mean, but still, it's astonishing. I know England have been pretty sort of pragmatic and cagey, but blimey,
that's a lot of passing it around the back four, which you do see a lot with England. But it's like, Jesus Christ, 235 more attacks.
So it makes you feel like if they had someone who could finish, they would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it? Really,
it's funny to say that given that they scored 10 goals in two games, but it does still feel like they're going to struggle to put chances away against top defenders.
What does Lee Dixon think about this, though? What does Lee Dixon think? He was very upset at Peter Walton and his opinions. I don't care what Peter Walton says.
It's rude. It's a bit cheeky, isn't it, to say that on air?
Cheeky.
It's like, thank you for delivering your professional opinion from the profession that you spent many years trying to get to the top of, but you're an irrelevance.
Yeah.
Peter Walton does agree with everything the on-pitch referee does, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, true.
He feels like it's the referee's union.
Yeah, I guess so. Would you say it was a difficult decision for the referee? Because
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. No one else agreed with me in the group, but I just thought that was absolutely red.
No, I thought it was...
Studs up, connected with his ankle.
I don't think studs up matter anymore. I think it's just it's just reckless and out of control.
Well, how do your studs get up?
I'd argue that he was in control.
Did you see the Gabriel Jesus thing? I mean, I guess in that sense, he was not out of control.
I'm going to give that a straight red.
Buff him in the face. But in this case... Yeah, if you're making that kind of connection, it's an ankle breaker. I don't think you should be doing that.
Yeah.
It's a red card.
All right.
I
don't care what Kate Mason says. Says Lee Dixon. I don't care what Kate Mason says.
The thing is,
turning up in your squash gear, giving it the big one.
The thing is, though, Lee Dixon says it after Peter Walton's.
I know. Peter Walton's pressing the red button, going, hey, Lee, put me on, put Lee on now.
So Spain, Italy, that is the Tuesday night semi-final. And the Wednesday night semi-final, well, we don't know who the component teams are going to be of that yet, because another set of quarterfinals tonight.
So it's funny, isn't it? When you look at the way England play, 90 minutes doesn't feel like long enough sometimes. I feel like at some point we're gonna end up in
time. I'm sure we'll get our 120. I'm sure we'll get our 120, Jim. That'll be fine.
Okay.
But yeah, how do you feel about this game?
I feel sick, obviously.
Because yeah, obviously...
that know, goes without saying.
Ukraine have scored more goals than England.
Mm. Yeah, I thought I was going to feel sicker after the... So with Germany, the Germany game, it just felt like that could be the end of the line and it was too early and there's all this history and heritage and all that stuff, which I mainly think doesn't actually matter because for all the obvious reasons we've talked about with Gareth Southgate, you know, training players to know things differently, to think things differently and not to worry about that. And actually, it's irrelevant, isn't it? Whether Gaza did something.
How to know things differently. I am a teacher. Yeah, I'll help you know things differently.
I've been doing a lot of neurolinguistic programming. Can you tell? Yes. Whereas with this one, it feels more like, you know, this before the Sweden game in 2018.
Mm.
But I don't know. I just feel like Ukraine are more Mavericks.
Yeah, I mean, people are assuming England are going to win, aren't they? Let's
that's the worst
that's
thing.
That's the problem.
Worst place to be.
Ukraine will be focusing on that and playing into that. And obviously, Gareth Southgate is very, very good at keeping the players grounded. But what do you think the dangers are for England? Because I wonder if Ukraine, obviously, they've been through extra time. They probably won't want to repeat it again. But Shevchenko will undoubtedly have probably at least... you know, drilled the national panic about penalties from England panic. into Ukraine. So it might be that they go, you know what, if we do get to you know, extra time, maybe, you know, they won't want penalties.
Right.
I think you could only feel that way if you'd not watched the team. You don't feel that way.
I don't feel like that about this team, but it's the story about England's national team, isn't it?
So Ukraine, watch it a little bit.
But Ukraine may have that in their thinking.
We kicked that hoodoo into the long grass with the last performances, didn't we? In the shootouts, and I think this is going to be a sterner test than Germany because you know Ukraine have equipped themselves much better than the German sides did throughout the groups and the match against England. I thought Germany were very, very ordinary and not particularly probing. I thought they were very, very poor, and Ukraine have obviously got goals in them. So it's going to be a stern test. But if England want to be in the position that they think they deserve, they need to be winning these matches. So
I wonder how Ukraine will approach it as well. But or in fact, how England will approach it as well. I personally, this might just be because I want to see our more attacking players. But I wonder if starting with. There's talk that you might even start Grealish and Foden, which I'd be surprised by because that would mean Sterling missing out. But I think he will probably be a little bit more direct because you kind of want to get this game going into it as probably the favourites. You want to get it out the won. You don't want any risk of going to extra time. And Ukraine will be thinking, well, you know what? Because England are so pragmatic, we can sort of let them be really pragmatic and safe for a while and then try and nick it late on. And that's the danger, isn't it? That's what I say when 90 minutes doesn't seem like enough when your team plays like this, because you leave yourself open to that risk. I wonder if they will be a bit more attacking, try and get it won comprehensively.
And then they can sort of bring off the players who are on yellows so they don't risk it for the next round. Once again, Gareth's on that tightrope that every England manager find themselves on. It either works his way, he either goes to his game plan or he's fired and everyone hates him. It's always the way with England, and Gareth Southgate's been excellent, impeccable at this tournament.
That's the outside of it though, isn't it? Just the yellow cards. It's Harry Maguire, Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips and Phil Foden.
Because Foden was the only player who got a yellow in the group stages. They were pretty nicey-nicey, the team, really. And then obviously the Germany game ramped those up a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see if we get any suspensions in this match.
Hazard
really
Graza
rule,
said,
by the way.
Yeah, he said that, you know, rightly so, that, you know, a match suspension for two bookings is so harsh. So, so harsh. And I completely agree. It's frustrating. Did you see... This is one thing I'm worried about. Did you see England playing volleyball in the pool?
No.
There's been some video going around of them playing volleyball in the pool. Harry Kane did not look good. Like, honestly, he did look listless.
He was hanging back. He was dropping deep, which is bad in the pool because you might drown.
You want to do. Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit worried about his form.
Yeah,
you know. Maybe he was conserving his energy.
Maybe
the thing, I realised I didn't really finish my point about Sweden. It feels a bit like going into the Sweden game in Russia 2018 in the sense that everybody was shitting themselves because of that being the stage of the tournament and because of all the optimism that was starting to grow. Because if you remember Russia, that was sort of the first time where we allowed ourselves to feel like, oh, hey, there is something good happening here.
Yeah.
And then we just beat them in a very calm, contained performance, yes, to the point where it's actually kind of boring.
Yeah, like, that's what they need.
So yeah, Sweden, but again, Sweden didn't really turn up in that match, and that was and
but we controlled them, we contained them as well, and I think it's similar in the sense that I do believe that Ukraine could have like a maverick moment. They haven't, they've conceded in every single one of their last 15 games but one, I think. So presumably we're going to be able to put together some goal scoring chances and, and to finish. But the point is that we have, we feel emotional about this. We feel anxious about this. We want England to win. Some of us have tickets for the semi-final. But
this is what it's about, mate.
But, you know, if you're looking at this in a dispassionate way,
not having tickets to the final, like me and Jim, we think differently, don't we?
Well, we don't need to, you know, most people looking at this would think England should beat
Ukraine.
How
am I going to get to Wembley?
And England should beat Ukraine. Yeah. This isn't really a discussion.
And that's how professional footballers think. They go, we should beat them. I'm a good footballer. That guy over there, he's a good footballer. And him over there. And him, we've got a good team.
Yeah.
So we should be fine.
That's
and
true.
You know, Father's and Duo, Luke Shaw and Saka, nice to sort of see them playing together.
Did you see Saka might be out? Although that, you know, again, even that, like, that's so annoying given how great he's been this whole tournament. Mm. But even still, could mean Jadon Sancho gets a run out, which is what lots of people have wanted to see. It's not like we don't trust him. It's not like he hasn't played at the highest level.
Yeah, that's heartening, isn't it? The depth that England have, any of those players coming out. So there is, again, as we're talking about with Italy, there's someone to come in and not necessarily fulfill exactly the same role, but bring their unique set of skills to it. So, yeah, it's the danger is obviously that you underestimate Ukraine, and I don't know, you're not concentrating properly. You let a goal slip, or you give away a stupid penalty, or something like that. But I think Southgate doesn't leave room for that.
Mm.
So
agreed.
Let's hope that they just get the job done. Come on, England!
The respect that he shows to everybody around him, as I think Jules was saying, suggests that it would be almost impossible for him to underestimate an opponent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'll just kick it around, lads. Yeah. Let's play for penalties. We know how to take
just
those.
Think about the Queen.
Also, Czech Republic against Denmark. A little mention for them too.
This is tasty, this game.
Mm. Yeah. And also, like, of course, there's such a groundswell of enthusiasm for within the Denmark team and all they've been through. And Pernille Harder, the Chelsea player, was writing in the Guardian, had a piece in the Guardian today saying about how she really feels as though these guys could go on all the way.
Yeah, it does feel like
that
within
kind
momentum.
Of spirit.
Definitely,
there's some great stories in this tournament. There really is, and I hope Denmark win this match because I think that they're worthy. The way they played against Wales was insanely good.
Oh my God! Yeah, for 4-0,
took them apart.
Against a semi-finalist in the previous Euros. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So I'll really enjoy that. How do you even watch these bloody games before England? I just sit there. Like,
on the squash court.
What I tend to do is like write a lot of notes. I'll like, right, really? I've told Marcus this, that like my formation, and then I'll sort of put colours on it for
really?
No reason.
Oh.
Nerd.
I love how we found someone who loves England as much as Marcus.
Yeah.
I didn't think another person existed.
I think Marcus's enthusiasm helped build my own, to be honest.
Good on
listening
him.
To the
good
Ramble all those years and now getting to call him up all the time and be like, I'm quite worried about this England formation.
Don't
like,
worry, Kate.
Don't worry
It'll
about it.
Fine.
I'm just doing some DIY. That's a good option.
He'll make a prediction with such confidence that even when it doesn't come true, you sense he was still right.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Guys, if you love England, leave us a review on Apple or wherever you get your pods. It really helps new listeners find the show. And more people need to hear us scream easy.
Yeah, we need to rename our podcast just England so that people can review us like that.
Well, I guess also if you give us 5 stars, which you just press 5, you don't even need to write any words, then England lose, then it's like, it's at least there's
done.
A small
yeah,
bonus.
You've done something there.
Spread some joy.
Spread some joy. So yeah, fingers crossed for a bit of joy tonight. Tomorrow bringing you some enthusiasm of some nature. Maybe the easy will be Jim, Andy and Marcus in the chair. And it's all going to be good and it's going to be fine. And come on, England. And, you know, any Ukrainian fans,
why
thanks
are you
for
crying?
Listening.
Come on, England. And it'll be fine.
You're really, really smudging your face paint.
It's because none of you guys would wear any. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, everybody. Thanks for all that, Petey.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
You're welcome.
See you later.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.